if vehicles can drive themselves inside the parking garage, you can, instead of installing like hundreds of charging points through a whole parking garage, you can just charge them one by one and move them around through the garage during the night. Or and that's, from an infrastructure perspective, much simpler challenge, because the grid connection for 100 chargers is very difficult to get the electricity connection for that.
Welcome to Tech Talks, hosted by myself, David Savage, and powered by Nash Squared. Today is Earth Day, the annual event demonstrating support for environmental protection. And to mark that on the podcast, our guest is Krein Baumann, the co-founder and CEO of Roxys, who are creating seamless EV charging.
Welcome to today's podcast, which is actually being recorded today. Myself and Sam are sitting down in a National Trust cafe, of all things.
Yeah, it's gorgeous here.
You know, Sissinghurst Castle.
Only, what, 15 minutes from my parents' house and I've never been?
I don't know. How have you not been?
I don't
because
know.
It's National Trust, and therefore you immediately think, well, it's not for me, it's for only for old fogies like me.
I was going to say, don't say that too loudly, but if you're going to put yourself in like...
Oh, yeah, totally. It's fine. Yeah, yeah. I would say that I am now comfortably in the bracket of people who are members of National Trust, and lots of my friends are. And it's like, I like to think that we're still all young, but many of them have children, and many of them have National Trust membership, and... That's a sign that perhaps we are not so young.
Well, I think you've been a National Trust member for quite a while, actually. It's not
true.
A recent thing. It's been quite some
time. Why would you not want to come somewhere that serves cake and tea and scones?
It's got nice fields to walk around.
Exactly.
Most of them have nice old buildings to look at.
Exactly.
You've said you can go inside this one. This
got
one's
beautiful
lovely.
Flowers.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
I agree. You've made me a convert now. That's what I'm going to do. I don't know how many National Trusts you have down in Brighton where I live, but...
Oh, there will be a few.
Yeah, there should be. Well, it's the South Downs, so there should be.
There'll be loads around you.
There should be some. But Bodiam's pretty much halfway between me and you.
You're not too far from... I'm not sure what the National Trust attached to it is, but you're not too far from the 100 Acre Wood, the real 100 Acre Wood,
yes,
Ashdown Forest.
Ashdown Forest, yeah, that one's really close to me. I was supposed to go in uni.
I imagine there's a National Trust attached to Ashdown Forest.
It's got to be, surely. That'll be our research afterwards. Yeah. So I have wanted to go, I'm a big Winnie the Pooh fan.
Yeah,
so
if anyone's not familiar, Ashdown Forest, the inspiration for 100 Acre Wood, which is, of course, where Winnie the Pooh and Piglet live.
Yeah.
Anyway, how did we get here today, Sam?
In your new Polestar 2.
Yes, thank you very much.
For the first time. For me, anyway.
Octopus,
my first ride.
Octopus EV, electric vehicles. And that is significant because today's guest is Roxys. We're going to be talking all about autonomous charging. So I'll hand over to our interview and then we'll come back with a bit of chatter afterwards. So this morning, I am joined by Krein Baumann, the co-founder and CEO of Roxys. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, good, good. And look, I know before we hit record, you explained you got a bit of a cough. So fingers crossed that that behaves itself during the course of the interview. But I really do appreciate you taking the time and jumping on a call when you're feeling perhaps a little bit under the weather.
No, I'm feeling okay. Thanks so much for your consideration.
Whereabouts are you joining us from?
So I'm based out of the Netherlands, our office is in a town called Rijswijk, about 40 minutes from Amsterdam.
And we've got you on today to talk about Roxys. Before we dive into anything else, it would be good to hear from you a little bit about who Roxys are.
Roxys is a startup company focusing on autonomous charging for electric vehicles. But maybe just start from the big picture. So we got a climate crisis unfolding and the world is getting a more and more crowded place. And it's becoming more and more clear that the current mobility ecosystem is just not going to scale to the next generations. It's broken, basically. But the good news is there are two major developments on the way, electric vehicles and autonomous driving, who can address this challenge in a quite meaningful way. But charging them is a major bottleneck, and that's where we come in. Roxys develops the future of charging infrastructure, fully automated and powered by robotics and AI. And that's the future, but it's already delivering value today for customers in ports and logistics. So the next generation ecosystem for mobility is sort of already developing in behind the fence applications like port and logistics. And that's where we come in to make sure the vehicles are always charged and can do their duties.
Really stupid question, perhaps. But is there any difference when it comes between commercial vehicles and, you know, consumer cars, one of a bit of a difference in terms of charging and the infrastructure and the types? Can you plug in a bus in the same way that you can plug in a Tesla on someone's drive? Does it have to be something slightly different in terms of the charges?
Yes, it's actually very similar because there are standards on the charging connectors and the charging inlets. European and American standards are available, so they basically use the same plug. So I would say it's similar. Of course, the parking arrangement might be slightly different because the commercial vehicles tend to be slightly bigger, but in principle, the charging is the same.
That's good to hear because that kind of speaks to the fact that this is a challenge that kind of it can be bitten off by a number of different actors. It's not like, you know, Android and Apple, different chargers, different, you know, it's some kind of weird broken ecosystem. Everyone is kind of, there is some kind of standardization across the international community then.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I've been in the charging business for 18 years and I've seen this whole, let's say, ecosystem sort of taking shape. And in the beginning, we started from the chaos situation with like multiple plugs, big debates about standards, etc. And luckily, the world converged to a couple of standard plugs, and that's allowing scale and also reliability and user friendliness. Because, you know, if you have 10 different plugs, it's not that user friendly for people to understand, you know, how can I charge? Where can I charge? Does it actually work? Etc. So we are luckily past that stage.
What are the major challenges then? If we're just talking about charging and getting the infrastructure in place, what are the current barriers to making that something that is on a par, say, with petrol stations, gas stations that we see today?
I would say like the speed of deployment is not keeping pace with the rollout of electric vehicles. So I think that is one of the main challenges. Because infrastructure development is not that fast. You need properties, you need permits, there's electricity connection required, etc. So there is a slowness to infrastructure, and there's also a limited amount of places where you can actually place infrastructure. So it's very, very important that you think well about infrastructure and that you utilize infrastructure to the max once it's there, because that's basically one of the main bottlenecks. And of course, for us as a company, so looking at this ecosystem of electric vehicles and a little bit down the road, the automated vehicles, a lot of the infrastructure today is not being prepared for the future. So when automated vehicles come to the market, or vehicles which park themselves, maybe not yet like fully highway driving capable, will the infrastructure actually be able to charge them? Because if there's no driver, everything's built on manual interaction, right? So yeah, that's sort of a challenge we anticipate to be the next challenge, actually.
Yeah. So talk us through a little bit about autonomous charging, because building an infrastructure is one thing. Autonomous charging feels like a step further. And I would imagine, if you've been in San Francisco recently and you've got in one of the Ubers, which is self-driving, all of a sudden stuff like autonomous charging becomes common sense. But I don't know whether it's commonplace, because the idea that you've got a fleet of cars that's driving itself that can go charge, that sounds brilliant, but I don't know how far off a reality that is in any number of major cities.
Yes. Indeed. So for us, both being in the European context, we are a little bit outside the dynamic, honestly. So the self-driving ecosystem, except for like the ports and logistics market, is largely being developed in China and US. And I think they are like 5 to 10 years ahead of Europe, actually, in the, let's say, robotaxi and really autonomous streetcars. End of last year, I was in San Francisco, and indeed, there's like robot taxis driving around. There are a couple of hundred deployed on the streets of San Francisco, and some of them are already in commercial operation. So when you are there, indeed, it's very logical that, you know, this is where the world needs to go. So as a business, we are also set up in Europe and US, because US, we see the largest potential. We have quite a few customers today already. And especially the robotaxi space is super exciting, because this is a very, very impactful technology, which will, you know, have the ability to solve a lot of the big e-mobility or the mobility questions which are around. But we are a little bit, for us being in Europe only, it's difficult to imagine how far it is already. But if you in San Francisco and you just stand on the random street corner, like every 10 minutes you see like a self-driving car driving by, which is fascinating for me. Even as a tech enthusiast, I'm still fascinated by it.
Is it that side of things, the self-driving aspect, that truly unlocks the benefits, I suppose, of potentially of EV? And because in my head, if you've got this ability to autonomously drive, autonomously charge, then a lot of the kind of the congestion issues, you know, you're not going to have people going to fill up at the same time. Maybe it kind of unlocks this idea of you're not needing to own your own car because you're just kind of using it. You know, it fixes a lot of the transport infrastructure problems that we're faced today, right?
Absolutely. So the technology is super, super impactful. And that's also why I think China, it will be sort of a China-US race, I think, between who gets there first. But, you know, the self-driving technology will indeed change car ownership. Do you really need maybe that second or third car? Or could you just order it through an app? Or, you know, do you really need so many parking spaces? Because if a large part of vehicles are shared, then maybe we can free up more space for roads and solve the congestion problem and have less parking spaces. Or, you know, there's such an impactful technology. What will insurance look like if we're in a world of self-driving cars? It's a very fascinating domain, and there are a lot of challenges which can be solved. And I think congestion is one. Also, looking from an environmental standpoint, today we build a car which consumes a lot of raw materials, and then the utilization of a car is maybe 5%. So 95% of the car time a vehicle is standing still, which from an environmental perspective is dramatic. So we extract all these metals and all these materials which are there. We put all the energy in producing a vehicle, and when it's ready, it's standing still for 95% of the time. So I think automated vehicles have huge potential to solve this and make sure that vehicles are always on the road when they are not charging. And, you know, it's either charging or being on the road. And if they are electric, I think that's a very good thing. So
here's perhaps again another daft question, but as you've stated, the US and China are leading on this, and perhaps Europe is 5 years behind. So why would Roxas flourish in the Netherlands?
That's a good question. So let's say from the market side, of course, we are focused on the US, also Europe. But let's say in Europe, our market is mainly in the ports and logistics space, where we are the world is more aligned on where we are with this technology. But the future, probably there will be significant opportunities in the US. But what is good about Europe is e-mobility and mobility in general is an ecosystem. And Europeans are good at ecosystem thinking because we're sort of forced to work together in like 20 plus countries with different languages. And, you know, that's in our DNA to work together. And that's really what's needed in the infrastructure industry to come together, vehicle players, legislative players, the charging infrastructure, the power grids, the software backends, the payment methods. So it's really an ecosystem which needs to unfold, and Europeans are good at that. And I think that's something we can leverage.
So look, I live in Southeast England. All of the new builds on the estate that I live on, because I bought a house at the back end of the pandemic 3 years ago, they all come with electric charging points on the side of the houses. You can kind of see how the infrastructure is being set up to allow for electric vehicles. My mum and dad, on the other hand, live in rural southern France and were looking at buying a car recently, and they thought about a hybrid and they've ended up buying a petrol car because the idea of getting an electric charging point to them, where, you know, it really is the rural dead heart of France where a lot of the youth kind of migrate away to the cities, that would appear to be a rather large challenge. How do we get it to the point that my parents go, and people like them in rural areas, hey, electric vehicle charging is an option, and therefore I suppose electric vehicles really do begin to scale.
Yeah, so I think there's two things. There's also a benefit to rural areas because usually most homes have a parking lot. So you could just use your own electricity connection from the house to power the car. And currently with the current developments in range of vehicles, you know, most vehicles have like a 300 mile-ish range, which is quite sufficient, I would say, for most of the driving. And the fast charging networks are being deployed at a very rapid pace. I think even if I would say throughout whole Europe, also the more rural areas, there are quite a few fast charging deployments now. So I would say that we are about there, that it's just as convenient as a petrol car, even if you live in a rural area.
And therefore, is it people's perception that we need to change? Is it the idea that, oh, this is going to be difficult, rather than actually the technology?
I think absolutely. That's something which there. And sometimes in the media you hear these horror stories. But I would say once you're in an electric car, you don't want anything else. I've seen that happen to many people. And the problems are really not that big.
I was in a press conference earlier this year. Hyundai were talking about the future of software-defined vehicles, and they then gave a big half an hour presentation on why they thought hydrogen was the future as opposed to electric vehicles. What would you say? Because there is, you know, EVs are definitely, and especially, you know, when you look at China, huge amounts being produced, and that would seem to be the way that most people kind of are going in their thinking, but hydrogen is there as an alternative. Why do you think EVs are the way that we are going to go, and that's the future? Or is there a place for both?
Yeah, so indeed, I would say as opposed to is probably not the right way to put it. I think there is a place for hydrogen as well. Honestly, so I've actually did my master's thesis on hydrogen electric propulsion 19 years ago. And that technology was very promising at that point in time. But we are now almost 20 years further, and it's still... like the deployments are relatively low. There are millions and millions of electric vehicles on the road and only a handful of hydrogen vehicles. So I would say, so my personal feeling is that this hydrogen is suitable for certain use cases, like very energy intensive applications, like long distance trucking maybe, or like remote locations, etc. So I think there's a market for both, but I think the vast majority will be electric. So the electric movement started about 10 years ago, and now we are in tens of millions of vehicles on the road. The hydrogen movement started 30 years ago, and we are in a handful of vehicles still. So I would say it's both technologies have their benefits, but I think if we really look for scale and mass market, I think electric will win in most of the use cases. The economies of scale are massive in this. But I also saw the Hyundai presentation. I think it was mainly about like very heavy-duty, long-distance applications for heavy-duty, high-weight, high-cargo, load trucking. So I think it could make sense, but let's see. Let's say after 20 years in this industry, it's just like, let's see the vehicles on the road first and then see, you know, draw the conclusions, because there's a lot going on always in the media, and let's look what's actually will make it to the road.
And look, just as a last question, obviously you've talked about the fact that kind of logistics, ports, big options for you, big kind of focus for Roxas in terms of, you know, charging options, giving port equipment OEMs competitive advantage. If you look at your website, it's very much kind of aligned to that kind of work at the moment. Correct. What's next? How do you evolve? How do you try and make sure that this is something that does scale, and that is something that, you know, I assume that you want to provide autonomous charging beyond ports and logistics, as you've kind of alluded to. How do we get there? What are the challenges for the next 6 to 12 to 24 months?
Yeah, so that's a very good question. Indeed, the website is of course very much focused on our current customer base, which is ports and logistics. Our next big goal is to enter more like the main road segment or automotive segment, with the key applications being robotaxis in the United States, and automated valet parking. And that's automated valet parking is a functionality developed by all the premium OEMs in the premium vehicle manufacturers in Europe, premium brands. And that's basically about automated parking. So basically you step out of your vehicle and your car will park itself. So the European car makers take a bit more modest approach on on automated driving. They'll automate the parking first and then the driving. But those are major applications. And we are in a consortium working together with five car makers to standardize this technology to automate the charging as well. There's an IEC and ISO standard coming for automated charging, and that's very important. It's maybe it sounds like a detail, but for car makers to adopt a technology at mass scale, there must be some kind of standard. So we've been working with, I can speak publicly about it, so with BMW and with Ford, with Audi and with Porsche on standardizing robotic charging. That standard will be there at the end of the year, and then basically every car maker can make sure the car is compatible with automated charging. So that's been a huge effort in the last 2 years, and it will be a huge effort next 2 years, such that by 2026 onward, we will have vehicles capable of parking themselves and also charging themselves.
Yes, no, that was put to me the other week, actually. And of course, there's that thing that all of a sudden you need X percentage less parking space because, of course, you don't need people to get in and out of the doors.
Absolutely.
One of those kind of things that you never really think about until someone puts it to you and you go, oh, yeah, of course.
That's one of the key business aspects for automated valet parking is that indeed you can stow more like 20 to 30% more cars in a parking garage or, you know, and also charging. If vehicles can drive themselves inside the parking garage, you can, instead of installing like hundreds of charging points through a whole parking garage, you can just charge them one by one and move them around through the garage during the night. Or and that's from an infrastructure perspective, much simpler challenge because the grid connection for 100 chargers is very difficult to get the electricity connection for that. So so there are all kinds of aspects to the automated driving which just make a ton of sense.
Look, it's a fascinating area. It really is. So best of luck with kind of growing the business and scaling and kind of making these breakthroughs because it is one of those technologies that has a truly transformative impact on society if it goes well. So very, very much kind of the best of luck. And I hope you start to feel better soon. Thank you for joining us, as we've said, whilst you're feeling a little bit less than perfect this morning.
Thank you so much for your time, David. I'm actually getting better by the minute. So thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now, autonomous charging is really interesting, right? Because it's that whole unlocking of the infrastructure bit. First of all, it's great to see that electric vehicles are becoming more and more prevalent on the road.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's that whole bias thing, isn't it? When you get something new, you immediately see lots of it.
Absolutely.
I knew that there were quite a few electric cars around. Since getting an electric car, I have noticed that there are already a lot of electric cars on the road.
Yeah, well, I don't have one, but knowing as soon as you had said you were getting one, you hadn't even had yours yet, I started to see them everywhere. Yeah. Obviously, I did start to see them a little bit before that, as I said, because I live in Brighton, Green City. They are everywhere.
Yeah.
Lots of schemes down there, lots of like public charging points, which is great. But it wasn't until you actually said you were getting the Polestar that I saw the first Polestar that I'd ever seen. I hadn't even seen one before. It was just, you know, the classic Teslas and hybrids.
Teslas are everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's
and then
crazy.
Down in Brighton, all of our taxis are hybrids, like Ubers.
Yeah.
We do have Ubers down there, but our actual Brighton and Hove taxis are...
Increasingly black cabs in London are electric.
Yes, I've been seeing this as well. And buses.
Yes.
I've been seeing some buses as well.
And I think it's interesting, actually, that it's only the last week Tesla have announced cutting of prices of three of their major models around the world. Now, elements of that are related to Elon Musk and his decision, obviously, to purchase Twitter, now X, and some of the volatility around that. But they've also cited competition.
Yeah.
And there is just, I think it's suddenly become a thing where electric cars are seen as accessible as... Mm-hmm. Old combustion engine cars, and their range is now comparable, so you're not hamstrung by like getting this quite expensive thing that doesn't perform quite as well. They perform just as well, if not better, than petrol cars.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not hard-pressed to find a charging port. You can pretty much find them at I'd say, what, upwards of 85% of petrol garages.
Yeah, and I think that's the key point. And one of the really interesting things about having a company like Roxas on the podcast today is it's that reliability point of view that is really important. Now, obviously, they're talking about autonomous charging, which unlocks multi-car ownership. It unlocks the idea of, you know, just improved efficiencies. And, you know, if you've got like a fleet of autonomous delivery vehicles, then not having to physically go and charge them unlocks huge possibilities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it will also just encourage the expansion of that infrastructure that everyday users of cars need.
Yeah, because they're expanding to just conventional. They're not just going to be logistical and...
Well, increasingly, if the demand's there, then countries are going to get their act in order. Mm-hmm. And when we first got the Polestar 2, we drove down to my mum and dad's in South France.
Yeah, and you told me it was easy.
Yeah, and a lot of people were like, you know, what's it going to be like driving onto the continent, driving into France? How easy is it going to be to charge? And I'd heard stories that France's infrastructure was fragmented.
Okay.
And it's true that from garage to garage, it was a different service provider, and we had to get our head around that. And then I realised I was being an idiot. And Polestar have an app that talks to all of the various different charging points for you, so you don't even have to do that. So it's super easy. It's super easy.
Yeah, and it wasn't until you started it, or you told me that you were doing it through Octopus, that I just gave it a little ponder. And it wasn't until then that I saw how many different brands there are. And obviously talking about Tesla and the competition, there are. And there are a lot more brands that are coming under Tesla in affordability and accessibility and all of these things that I didn't know. In my mind, I was like, I'd seen Teslas and I'd seen a couple other ones and I'd seen Hyundai doing it. And I didn't even know until driving here that Polestar, maybe that's me being really, really uneducated, but Polestar is Volvo.
I had no idea. So Polestar aren't Volvo. They were an offshoot of Volvo.
Okay.
And the Polestar 2 is a Volvo chassis.
Nice. Okay.
So they are now independent, but they were kind of like, like Volvo. They're the offspring of Volvo.
Sure.
Let's go with
that. Electric.
But I had no idea until I got... I mean, I didn't even know what Polestar 2 was until I went on the portal.
Yes.
And like you, I was like, well, Tesla. And then what else is there?
I didn't know. There was so many. MGs. You've obviously got Mercedes on there. That's a predictable one. But I saw an MG. I saw the Abarth, the Fiat 500s.
Yeah, yeah.
I had seen the Fiat 500s in person before. But yeah, so many more.
Yeah.
So many more.
And I think what I wanted to say is it's great that we've got Roxas on the show, that we're talking about the really cutting edge stuff where it comes to autonomous charging and everything that unlocks. But it's brilliant that there are schemes out there like Octopus Energy's electric vehicle scheme that I had no idea about until recently.
Yeah.
Until my boss, Rob Maliband, picked me up in his new electric Porsche, Flashkit.
Bevo Porsche as well.
Flashkit. Sorry,
well,
Rob.
You learnt from your boss, I learnt from mine.
But, you know, I then find out that our neighbours over the road, different company, they have a lot of Octopus electric vehicles. Neighbours three doors down, he has a Tesla through Octopus. My brother-in-law, who plays for the Royal National Scottish Orchestra, they have the same scheme. It's clearly a way of making it affordable and making it an option for people where, look, I'll be honest, there is no way that I could afford a brand new £50,000 car without a scheme like this in place.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant that they are at the fingertips, and that will only increase the infrastructure. And if that means that the infrastructure in countries like the UK and France catches up with where the Netherlands are, great.
I agree. Yeah, no, it's really, really cool. You've got the charging port in your house now.
I have,
they
yes.
They put that in as well.
They did.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have own my house, so I won't be doing that. I'm not going to give my landlord a free charging port, but they are everywhere, and they are really, really easy.
But as we've established, you're significantly younger than I am.
Yes.
It took me quite a long time.
It's not a priority for me right now.
I wouldn't worry just yet.
I'm still working towards my first automatic.
For a start, you don't really... You can cycle or walk in Brighton pretty much everywhere.
I do frequently, to be fair, but when the time comes, I have been looking at... almost getting there. Maybe a petrol hybrid is the next step along. Because, I mean, also just generally having electric cars, the environment, just the whole point of the reason that electric cars even came into into fruition in the first place. Yes. And I do live in a green city, so it is something that I've kind of got my mind on. It's also cheaper to live in a green city with an electric car. They charge you a lot less for your permits and things like that. So it all rolls over. There's so much more to it than just having a fancy, nice, very, very fast electric car.
Anyway, look, we've had a little chit-chat. We're continuing our cake and coffee. Great to have Roxas on the show. And we will be back on Wednesday with Sonia, who is the founder of Tala Thrive. But thank you for tuning in and have a lovely start to your week.
Tech Talks is hosted and edited by David Savage. It is produced by Nash Squared. And we have special thanks to Lemzy for supplying music to this show.